Hello and welcome to the Generation for Change South West, a new podcast brought to you by the committee members of G4C SW, part of the Construction Excellence Organisation. My name is Katie Pickering and I will be your host as I chat to construction industry professionals about their careers in the industry. This is the fourth podcast and I'm delighted that I'm able to speak with Anna Wood, partner at BP Solicitors. Anna joined BPE in 2011 as a newly qualified solicitor. Since then, she has gained a wealth of experience in construction law, the construction sector, and has worked her way up to partner and head of construction engineering team. Anna has recently also taken on the role of company secretary of the Construction Excellence South West after formerly being club secretary for Construction Excellence Gloucestershire for 5 years. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Katie.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's exciting to be part of it.
Thank you for coming. So let's start with, why don't you start with telling the listeners why you chose the legal profession as your career?
Many years ago when I was studying for my GCSEs, my English teacher thought that I would make a very good barrister one day. So I trotted off to the careers library at my school. That was a thing in those days, I'm that old, and looked at the different legal professions and decided I didn't fancy being a barrister, but I did like the look of being a solicitor. So at the age of about 15 or 16, I decided that was what I was going to do. And that's what I do.
Sounds good. Tell us more about your route into law. You studied in Hamburg for a period of time, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So having decided that I wanted to be a solicitor, I basically decided to pick the quickest route I could, which meant studying law. So I studied law at the University of Manchester. And then following graduating from my undergraduate degree, I went on to study a master's in law and economics, which involved studying in Hamburg for 6 months, although I'm pleased to say that all the learning was in English. And that master's degree was all about the efficiency of law, which actually applies really well to doing building contracts. So it's put me in good stead. After that, I worked for a few years as a legal secretary. Then I did the LPC, the legal practice course, completed a 2-year training contract at a law firm. And so I qualified 11 years ago this September.
And then you joined us at BPE.
I did indeed, and it's been a pleasure ever since.
And at what stage in your legal training did you consider construction law to be a passion?
Well, I have to admit, Katie, it did all happen a little bit by accident in that when I was a trainee in the litigation department, the construction partner had a dispute on and she needed a trainee's assistance. I obviously did quite a good job of helping her out because she then poached me for a 6-week secondment back in around June 2009. And I ended up completing all of my training contract with her. It must have been June 2010, but it doesn't matter. Completed all of my training contract with her, qualified with her, and have stuck with construction law ever since.
I think the same can be said for me as well. We both kind of fell into construction, didn't we?
Accident, absolutely. Yeah.
And are there any expectations you had about this career path that you found difficult to react, difficult in reality, either both good or bad?
Quite a lot, actually. I think for starters, when I set off to be a solicitor, I thought there'd be an awful lot of law in my job. And to be perfectly honest, there isn't actually that much law in what we do. A lot of what we're doing is supporting people to bring to get together for a building project, as you know, because obviously we work together. And it's a lot about commerciality and it's a lot about helping people to achieve things. I think also people think of solicitors as being dispute resolution people. And actually most of what we do is collaborating with other solicitors and with all the professionals from the construction sector to work together to make sure that everything that needs to be on paper ahead of a build taking place is happening. And yes, I do dispute resolution, which I thought was what I was going to do 100% of the time, and actually I only do it half the time. So yeah, it's good that it's not been exactly what I expected. I think that makes it more fun.
Yeah, I think it's quite fair to say that our role as solicitors is quite behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And it's not often considered essential when you think of a construction project. How do you feel our services add value to our clients and their projects?
Yeah, it's such a good point. And there's definitely a lot of people who don't like solicitors, and of course it's a thing in construction, isn't it, that people say, oh, we're not very contractual, obviously meaning we're not argumentative, and that they don't get their contracts out every 2 minutes and rely on it, but actually good contracts underpin good building projects.
Yeah.
And I think particularly if you're going to have bank funding, then cash is king, and the banks insist upon really robust contracts underlying a building project. So frankly, whoever you are in the construction sector, if you're about to be involved in a project that is funded by a bank or another institutional lender, you have to expect robust contracts that solicitors have had their hands on. And it doesn't mean we're trying to stuff people over at all. It just means we're trying to make sure that everything's, all the ducks are in a row to get that money. And frankly, everybody's doing this to get some money. And I think that the big thing really is obviously that facilitates things happening. And really what we try and do is make sure everybody's clear about what their obligations are and what's needed. It's all very well and good understanding your technical requirements on a building contract, but if you don't understand the legal requirements that go with it, that's where things can start to go wrong. And a good building contract will help the parties to quickly and easily unpick little problems on site, and certainly isn't something that's only there to beat each other up with on the steps of the court as you know have some massive expensive dispute. So hopefully we help people, and I certainly want to say that we're not all that evil.
I suppose our contracts help the contractors and employees actually get on with what they want to do and get the job done, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You're a great mentor here at BPA, particularly to myself. Do you feel you're making a difference in your job role for your clients at the same time?
Well, I mean, I think so, yeah. And thank you for saying that. That's really kind. And I've enjoyed working with you and seeing your career develop. It's an absolute pleasure. I think that what is quite interesting is that, again, people maybe think solicitors are these people who reckon they know it all and are big and important and use all these complicated words and contracts designed to confuse people, when actually an awful lot of what we do is educating and training our clients and helping them to be comfortable with contracts and to not feel that they're all an awful risky thing. And actually, once people understand the wording of things better, then they often feel a lot more comfortable with them. And when they relax a little bit more about the documentation, they're able to focus on their own area of expertise, which frankly is designing and building buildings. That's what they do, or, you know, other construction projects. Particularly things like, you know, the mysterious collateral warranties, you know, we help people understand that. And a lot of the time we're educating our clients so they can review their contracts themselves going forward, which in a way is a bit silly because it potentially does us out of a job. But
yeah, I suppose we learn from our clients as well, don't we? We learn what actually happens in practice.
Absolutely.
Rather than just what the contract says should be done.
Absolutely.
I think always good.
When I was about your stage in my career, I was doing a mediation. Three parties had fallen out over some defective fan coil units. And obviously, as a 20-something-year-old newly qualified solicitor, I had absolutely no idea what a fan coil unit was. And it's so funny, the random bits of technical expertise that I knew exactly what they were at the time, and everything that I needed to know about a fan coil unit I had in great detail. And then subsequently, I've learned about concrete in great detail or other things. But equally, as we always say to our clients, well, we don't actually have the technical expertise on whatever this particular thing is. You'll have to teach us about it. And they actually like that we understand the limit of our knowledge and that we enjoy learning about actually how these things are put together, which is, you know, it's really cool. It's tangible. Most other lawyers are just dealing with paperwork. We're dealing with actual buildings. We build things. We drive past things.
Yeah.
Katie and I, this is a bit silly, but Katie and I have this thing where whenever we go on holiday, we send each other photos if we could drive past a building that we've done contracts for, because it's so nice to actually see it.
Yeah, it's a long-standing game of ours.
It is. And that's the coolest thing about construction, that you can always see what it is you've achieved.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. So moving on to the construction industry, how are things currently, in your opinion, in the world of construction? What challenges do you see impacting on the industry?
Oh, God, I think it's busy. I think there's so many projects that maybe had to pause through the pandemic as businesses didn't know whether or not to invest in new premises, or people held off. And so I think there's an awful lot of projects coming out of the woodwork now, and people desperate to get on site. But we're facing these massive challenges with material supply, and it's just so unpredictable. And the difficulty is that we seem to know this week what the problems are, but next week it could be a completely different material. I mean, not to mention labour shortages in certain skills as well. that, you know, that is a real challenge. And actually talking, you know, you asked me earlier about what difference we make to our clients in our job. And I think that's the really good thing, is once the clients have sat down around the table and agreed how they're going to deal with the risk of, say, concrete shortages or a delay with the steelwork being delivered to site, they decide how they want to allocate that risk, and we make sure the contract reflects what they've agreed, so that everyone knows they don't have to be worrying about it constantly, because they have a solution that they've agreed on up front. And you know, the CLC have published a note today telling everyone they need to look at fluctuations again to deal with these material shortages. And I think it's a massive issue at the moment, and it's going to really stretch people ever so thin. But I think, you know, the British construction industry is a marvellous thing, and I'm sure I'll get through it like every other challenge.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of articles and things at the moment, isn't there, about material shortages
and
the effects of COVID. Mm. I think it'd be quite difficult to actually do a podcast at the moment and not have to mention the big C.
Indeed.
Luckily, the majority of the restrictions are finally coming to an end. How do you feel the construction industry has handled the pandemic?
Do you know, I think they've done brilliantly. I think that obviously March, April last year, 2020, there was that big stop. And then thankfully there was some clear guidance and people were able to crack on. I think the CLC did brilliantly issuing the site operation procedures with clarity. I know there were a few iterations early on, a few revisions, but again, that just shows they were listening. Having that clarity and having one set of rules that applied to every single site across the country, I think gave great fairness and it helped people. I actually think the lawyers were quite quick to reach conclusions around the likelihood of this being treated as force majeure if there was a dispute. Clearly there are, you know, some contracts where that's not how it's going to pan out. And one thing I feel with construction, and I don't want to get political on a podcast, but I do think there's a bit of a risk, because people keep saying, oh, construction's never stopped. You know, they've gone on brilliantly through the whole of the pandemic. And that is true, but that does a real disservice to how hard it's been. And actually sites really, really slowed down. And obviously, as you know, we know where outdoor works could carry on at a pace where you were in those latter stages of fit out and you've got all the trades ideally on top of each other. They couldn't do that because of the operating procedures. And I think people aren't really talking enough about the challenges that the guys faced on site. And also, although I'm saying we're really busy, I think one of the things is that there are clearly plenty of sectors that will have completely halted all their development planning for 12 months, I imagine. I'm not, you know, clearly leisure and retail sectors are likely to have really slowed down what they're doing development wise, and that will have really impacted upon some businesses within the construction sector. But I think as ever they've had to be fluid and adaptable and find those opportunities. You know, you look at the Nightingale hospitals, what a wonderful thing that the construction sector did. Okay, they didn't end up being hugely used, but goodness, wasn't it great to show that the construction sector can do that when we need to.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's easy to say that, oh, construction, they weren't forced to stop, they were fine, they got on with it. But when you look at it, it was hard because they couldn't get the supplies. I mean, a lot of the trades had closed down.
True,
because
true.
They just couldn't get hold of anything. So that obviously caused delays and some sites just couldn't operate anyway. So
absolutely. And when main contractors are on such pinch margins as it is, to then have this hit on top, obviously, you know, for some, sadly, it was too much for their business to bear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is really sad that there's some businesses aren't going to make it out the other side. But I think when you speak of the industry as a whole, I think they've done, you know, should all be really proud of themselves for how they've reacted.
Yeah, I, for one, are definitely going to be glad when these restrictions are
absolutely. It'd be nice to go out on a site visit again.
Oh, it would. I love a site visit. And so the purpose of the G4C is to get young people interested and involved in the construction industry. What advice would you give to someone showing an interest in a career in construction?
Do you know, the thing I like about this is that actually a career in construction, well, the choice, there's hundreds of choices within construction. I think as soon as you say a career in construction, people think of a job in building, and so they'll probably immediately picture a bricklayer or a sparky or a chippy, and those, you know, those skilled trades are absolutely vital and much in demand. But it's remembering all the other skilled trades and professions that there are, and these varied roles, and also remembering that actually people don't end up doing the first thing they train in throughout the whole of their life within the construction sector. An awful lot of the contracts managers, construction managers, directors that we deal with started on the tools, and yeah. they've got their experience on site, and it's only with that experience on site that they then have managed to work their way up in companies to that more managerial role. And I think, you know, that variety and the number of people who, you know, dual train, they get skilled up in one area, and then when they decide they need a fresh challenge, they go and gain a second skill set, and they can flip between the two throughout their career. I think there's so much to do. And I think it's, you know, it's clearly not backbreaking labour for your entire career. It's obviously, you know, physically hard work for a lot of the people on site, but there's options after that. So it's not something to think, oh, well, would I still be, you know, lugging heavy stuff around a site at the age of 60? Well, you know, some do, and that's brilliant, but the options are there to do something different. And the other thing I would say to somebody starting in construction is watch out for the language. I don't mean the naughty language on site. I mean the sheer amount of technical terms and acronyms. The building industry don't half love an acronym, and all these all the names for various things. It is a whole new language to learn, and then I suppose there's the colourful language as well.
I think when you mentioned about the different roles, I think having you on this podcast just goes to show it's not all bricklayers, chippies, sparkies. There's definitely lots of different areas.
Absolutely.
Construction.
And it's great to think that that the sector is so special that you have solicitors who can entirely specialise in doing this. It's not, I mean, it is an area of law, but the point is that we exist as solicitors to support the construction industry. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of sectors that are only just starting to get specialist solicitors to look after them, but construction's been worthy of that for a very long time, and I think that's because of how complicated the stuff that people do on site actually really is, and the different things that could go wrong in building and how we make sure it goes right. So you're right, it's lovely to think that there are careers sort of around the edge of the construction sector that support it really well as well, so it could be that you can be part of it in loads of different ways.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Anna. I do very actually welcome. Have one final question.
Of course.
If you could describe the construction industry in three words, what would they be?
Oh, three words. Okay. Right. This one might sound a bit funny, but I think it's fun. I like working with our clients, and we have a really good laugh with them. So I will say that I think working in construction is fun. I think it's progressive. I think that the way the sector always works to develop new things and new ways of working and establish new materials, I think it's progressive in that way. And I think it's hard work, but it is rewarding. You really get out what you put in with construction. So if I would describe the construction industry in three words, I would say it's fun, progressive, and rewarding.
I completely agree. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Katie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.